Hey guys, welcome to Central's weekly podcast. Today we have Jordan speaking on thankfulness. And of course, we did not get it started quite on time this week, so you're going to be a couple minutes into it, but the sermon as a whole is there. Enjoy.
I feel like I can't even be a Christian in that moment. Like, I can't even be a follower of Christ because just something so small has just set me so off course. And I know that everything that's going on inside of my heart and inside of my mind, like, it's not of God. I know that that's, like, some of my own ungodly thinking. But I think, like, the enemy also uses those moments to just try and pounce on us and pull up all the little lies that we believe, everything that we believe is wrong with the world or wrong with people or anything like that. And he just feeds it to us on a plate. And most of the time, I'm very willing to just dive in and take that and run with those lies and talk about how things are so wrong with the world and everybody in it. And that's just really not godly. Okay, back to what I was saying. This often provokes me to my, like, God times where I just 100% have to focus on him. Because there is the side of that I just outlined for you, that in those moments I'm really not functioning in what God has for me, what God's trying to raise up inside of me. The perspective that he's given me, the truth that he's shown me again and again in my life, I'm not feeding on that in those moments. So I do, in a healthy way, I recognize that I need to go to God to get kind of back on that track. But in the other sense, when that happens, I just feel totally crushed because I feel like that's not supposed to happen to Christians. And I don't think I'm the only one.
No,
either.
You're not.
No, you don't. That, like, I'm just supposed to have right reactions all the time. I think a very common lie that we believe in the church is that we're supposed to have right reactions all the time. Right? But the Bible is actually pretty clear that that's not the case. Okay? Because as we read through, especially in the New Testament, I mean, as we read through the Old Testament, we find that there's lots of suffering and troubles. Like, that just pretty much happens over and over again. But in the New Testament, what we see is a little bit of a different writing where suffering and troubles and tribulations are actually promised to us. Yeah. It's not a reward, but it's essentially, like, Paul says it a lot, you know, like, look, troubles are going to come. You guys are called to be followers of Jesus. This is Paul speaking to just about every church that he wrote to. He pretty much has a little line about this somewhere. You're called to be followers of Jesus. Jesus went through incredible suffering and torment, and we're going to get a portion of that. Right? It comes with the territory. But Jesus also had all authority on heaven and on earth, and we're going to get the full measure of that given to us. So, I mean, there is hope in that. Otherwise, I don't think any of us would be here. If it was just a promise for troubles and suffering, I would not be here. I know that there's way more to it than that. I just want to read to you one example of this. Is when Paul's writing to the Thessalonians. He says, starting in verse 3, he's sending Timothy to the church in Thessalonians, and starting in verse 3, he explains why. To keep you from being shaken by the troubles you are going through, but you know that we are destined for such troubles. There we go. He's saying that we're destined for it. It's part of what's coming. Even while we were with you, we warned you the troubles would soon come, and they did, as you all know. That is why, when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter, so that's what I often refer to as the enemy, that's Satan, whatever else you want to call him. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Okay, sometimes that can happen, right? That really, we do let those lies get the best of us. We do let that perspective get the best of us. We let our heart just continually get turned tighter and tighter, wrenched more and more. Our mind just, like, run further and further down the cycle of, like, ungodly thoughts. And we do lose out on a lot of the good things that God's done in our lives. It's not a permanent loss. can be if we choose to keep going that way. But like we can miss out. Like in the truth is, in any given moment, we're incredibly powerful. That we have the authority that Christ had inside of us because Christ is in us. And we cannot walk in that in a moment because we choose to believe all the lies and everything that the tempter, as he's called here, is serving us on a bold platter. I don't want to be like that. I would rather live on the, like, I'm a beloved son of God with all authority on heaven and earth.
Yeah.
I'd rather walk in that in those moments. When somebody backs into us in a parking lot, I would love to have some godly things spread out of my mouth. Now, I'm saying I love that. I'm not saying that we're bad Christians if that doesn't happen. Okay? Because as I started off this story, I was saying that, you know, I often go down that road and I feel like I'm not supposed to. And what God isn't asking us to never have those wrong reactions. He's asking us to choose carefully what we do in those moments. And what does he often tell us or ask us to do? Well, as Paul says, he wants us to be thankful.
So good.
You see, really good, because I find that frustrating. I'm so thankful that car just backed into us. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not just like, you know, pulling out one random verse that just throws me for a loop. Because there's some verses like that in the Bible where it's like you really think, or I really think that I understand God's character and everything that God does. I mean, that's foolish in and of itself that I would understand everything. But I think I'm starting to get the picture of what God is saying, and there's one verse that throws me for a loop. But this isn't like one verse. This is a pretty common trend that we see. Let me read to you Hebrews 12, verse 28. It says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe." Okay? So, in this verse, I want you to just like whether you flip there or not, remember that verse because we're going to jump back to that. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "Be thankful in all circumstances." All. Including when car backs into you in a parking lot, for example. "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Okay, that's a heavy verse in and of itself, because I think it's partially from reading that I start to get like that perspective that like God's will for me is to be thankful, therefore I can't be like unthankful for a moment. That's me taking out of context, but again, I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only one who does that. Colossians 3:15-16. Okay? It says, too far. "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Yeah, always. "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." Okay? So this thing of thanksgiving, of being thankful, is like this underlying current that we see like running through all these letters to the churches, and often is the response to, you're about to be faced with trials or tribulations, or you've just come out of trials and tribulations. Either way, be thankful. Don't let it be dependent on your circumstances. I mean, this verse says it really, really clearly. The last verse said it really, really clearly. It says, in all circumstances. Right? That's the thing, is our thankfulness shouldn't actually be gauged on the circumstances.
That's good.
It is good. It's still frustrating. But we're getting there. Okay, so this is why I find thankfulness so frustrating when I'm told to be thankful in all these situations. Is because for me, thankfulness is often just responding to that natural sense, what sense of thankfulness when something good has happened. Okay? It's really, really easy for me to be thankful like when somebody gives me an undeserved, unexpected present. Right? When I get that, my natural response is going to be to be thankful. And I know for me, like that's, I spent a lot of my life just kind of being thankful in circumstances like that, so I've come to really believe that thankfulness is just like the after effect of something good that happens. But it's not. Because thankfulness is actually a choice. Paul would not be saying this at the end of every letter if there wasn't anything that the churches could be doing about it. Right? If they didn't need to actually take a step in order to be thankful, if they didn't need to actually do something, then he wouldn't have to tell them that. He would just say, I'm so happy that you guys are thankful. Or, I look forward to when you're finally thankful again. He doesn't say that because he's not waiting for it to just happen. He's urging them. He's saying, we can miss this if we choose to just keep going down that one road where the tempter is handing us everything he can to get us to go further and further away from thankfulness, or we can make the choice to be thankful.
Yeah, so good.
So this is where it starts to get tricky then. Because now I actually have a choice in the matter. Circumstances suck. And I get to decide what I do about that. I am no less a son of God, no matter which way I choose. But my attitude and my heart and my mind and even the blessing that's going to come from the situation, that is going to change based on what I choose. It is going to change one way or the other, for better or for worse. You know, it grieves my heart, to be really honest with you guys. I always am honest with you, but I'm just telling you this is a bit of a step. It grieves my heart because I realized in hindsight, talking with the Holy Spirit, that yesterday when that guy backed into us would have been a great opportunity to share some love with him. I'd love to tell you that that's what I did. I mean, I didn't go off the deep end and, like, forsake my faith in Jesus to try and get revenge on this guy, but I definitely did not share love with him. How amazing would it have been? Because that guy was probably feeling really stupid in that moment. He's been driving for longer than I've been alive. And he just made a mistake like that. I mean, he probably felt really stupid about it. He was very vulnerable. And in that moment, I've been like a little bit more in tune with Holy Spirit. Well, it's not, I mean, had I responded differently, had I made the choice differently, I could have used that opportunity to just like really fill this guy out. Like, you know what? Like, you're not a failure. I totally understand. Let me give you a hug. He probably would have appreciated it. And I would have spoken volumes to all the witnesses that saw what he did too. If I got out of my car and I went up and hugged him. Oh, now I'm just... I wish I'd made that choice. Okay, so we have the choice to be thankful. Let's just dive into this verse. Pretty much my favorite verse in the Bible. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 talks to us about why we want to be thankful. I love this verse. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Oh, that's good. Okay. The reason why God is wanting us to be thankful in a situation is it's not a test of us every time. To be like, I'm testing you to see whether I'm going to give you my inheritance, and I'm going to give you my authority, and I'm going to give you my love. God's not doing that, okay? That's not God's character at all. But God has given us this free will and this authority, and because we have this authority and the choice of what we do with it, He's actually given us the opportunity to walk in the full blessing and like go guns blazing into everything that He has for us, or to just kind of like go a different direction or just chill out and do nothing with it. Okay, He's given us that choice because He just loves us and wants us to have free will and choice in what we do. But God knows that when we give Him thankfulness, the incredible blessing that we see in our lives. Because what we actually see is that the peace of Christ guards our hearts when we choose a thankful attitude. And Paul is not talking about being thankful when something good happens. Because if you look at how he starts this verse out, he's talking about worry. If he's saying, like, would you say to somebody, don't worry, unless, like, you probably wouldn't say that unless they're worrying. Right? And it's just really, really out of context. And so what we see here is that Paul is actually specifically addressing this context of worry. And call it what you will. Worry, stress, anything else. It's the same thing. God is, like Paul is saying, in that moment, we should actually choose thankfulness. Doesn't mean that we have to ignore everything that's going on, but essentially, the choice that we're making is that we're focusing on, the choice that we have is that we can focus on everything that's wrong, okay? Because I guarantee you, if I talk to each and every one of you right now, some situation in your life, something is not right, okay? So we can put our attention on what's wrong, or we can make the choice to put our attention on everything else that's right. That might be one thing, that might be dozens of things, it might be hundreds of things that are right, and they might seem small in the face of something that's glaringly wrong, but the reality is that we can make that choice, and it's going to shift our perspective. But more importantly than the perspective shift is that the peace of Christ is actually going to guard our hearts whatever we are going into face. And so it can be very difficult to say, like, how in that moment, like, this guy has just backed into our car, okay? We're sitting in the parking lot, and I'm about to get out of the car to go address this guy. And, I mean, I have no idea what his stance on it is going to be, if he's going to be upset about this because that's his defense mechanism, if he's going to be, like, sobbing because that's what's going on. Like, I don't know exactly what's going to happen coming out of the car. And, you know, like the lie that we often deal with is like, I don't have time to think about all the things that are right. I just need to address what's wrong. But the truth is that the peace of Christ is not guarding our hearts in that moment. We're in no position to address what's wrong. We actually need the peace of Christ to be guarding us in order for us to face these things. Because as I started off, we're promised suffering and troubles. And some of that comes just from our faith in Jesus. It's not because people turn against us, but we have a battle that's not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12 says that we are actually in a war against spiritual authorities. Right? The good news is that we're on the winning team, and they're just screaming to try and make a big show before they go down. But we're still in that battle, and we draw attention because we've made a choice to follow Jesus. And so we're going into that scenario. When I get out of my car to go talk to this other driver, I'm going into that scenario. And if I'm going in without the peace of Christ guarding my heart, I'm not qualified to really do much in that situation, because I'm going to be reacting out of me. And so that's the first lie to tackle then, is I don't have the time to do this. Because, I mean, it is a major lie, and that's exactly what the tempter would want us to do, is just dive right in, where we go and make even more foolish mistakes. Okay. So, I want to give you guys some ammunition. Sound good? Because sometimes that's all we need is like a little cue. Just a little thought. Like it's hard if we're just if we're in a situation where it feels like the world is ending, whether it's because your bus is 2 minutes late, or whether it's because like a beloved pet has just died, okay? Two very different extremes, but you can have the very same heart reaction. I've been on both ends of that. Okay, so I know how it feels to feel like your world is ending. Okay, but in those moments, I can sometimes just have like a little flash of something that either a reminder of something that I'm thankful for or a reminder of something that I should be thankful for. And in that moment, I can just utter the words, God, I thank you for this. I want to give you guys, because I truly believe that, you know, as we press into this with the Holy Spirit tonight, that we're going to go out from this place this week, and it's going to start this week, but it's not going to end this week. But we're going to go out from this place, and as we start to get into those positions where our mind used to run down one avenue and get angry, get sad, get defensive, get depressed, we're actually going to start to speak out some truth in that moment that just says, God, I thank you for. And that's actually going to start to change. It's going to be that breakthrough that some of you are looking for. Some of you have been needing that. Some of you have been stuck in cycles where you've been like getting that end of the world feeling or like intense anger in these moments and haven't known how to get beyond that. And haven't had like the wisdom to say, okay, this is the right choice in this moment. I don't always get that. Okay? I have many, many bad days where I am faced with a challenge and I don't know what the right thing to do is. Okay? Because it's not always clear-cut, black and white. But in those moments, I do know what I can do, and that is put my perspective on God. I'm not able to make a decision right away, but I can put my perspective on God. I feel like we're going to do some of that this week, and it's going to be that breakthrough. Okay. One amazing thing to be thankful for is answered prayers. Like, this is why it's really, really good to write down what we're actually praying for. When I was growing up, I had like a spiritual sort of grandma in our church, and she was amazing because she kept a prayer box where every prayer that she ever prayed, she kept it in her room where she did all of her praying. I mean, I'm sure she did praying outside the house as well, but she kept it in this room, and every time she prayed, she would write down what she was praying for and put it in this box. And every 3 months or whatever, she would pull out all those prayers, and she would, if it had been answered, like she just would have an amazing time thanking God for that. And if it wasn't, she would just pray through it again and put it back in there. And I mean, it was really, really amazing to learn from that. And I try to do that with my larger prayers. I sometimes forget what smaller things I'm asking for, but like one thing that God's brought up over and over again is a prayer that I actually shared with you guys last week, where when I was a teenager, I prayed to God that he would always put me in a position where I had to trust in him, which meant like avoiding some of the really secure, straightforward paths in life that I could have taken. And oftentimes when I have the really, really frustrating days where it's like questioning whether the money's going to come through for that bill, or you know, like we need to get a car and aren't sure if we're going to have money to do that. And in those moments, God kind of reminds me that I prayed that prayer and that he's been faithful on his end of it. And when I pray. And see, in that, it's funny because like my initial response is not to be, oh, thank you, God, that I have to wait until the last minute to know whether this bill is going to come through or not. Okay, that's not my thankfulness. That would be really sarcastic. What ends up happening in that moment is, one, I realize God has a sense of humor, because he would not remind me of that type of a prayer in that type of a moment if he did not have a sense of humor. So God reminds me of his sense of humor, but then it also reminds me of every time that I've been in that place and he's reminded me of that prayer and then he's come through right afterwards. And it's just like, I have miracle after miracle of praying a prayer. God, I don't know how I'm going to get back into school this year. I don't have any of the money, and like I don't know where it's going to come from. And then a bursary that I didn't apply for will just come through and be like a quarter of my tuition. Like, that happened to me twice in university, and then, like, there's a bursary that I applied for, and then 8 months later, after I'd been denied for it, they sent me a letter saying we were reevaluated and found that we had lots of extra money, and we decided to award you the bursary. But what's amazing is that God had told me when I first applied for it that I would get it. And I didn't really need it at that point in time, but I applied for it anyways. I got denied like 3 weeks afterwards. When I really needed it 8 months later, there was a fluke in the system that made it happen. Right? That is cool, and that changes my perspective back to that. That God does cool things like that. And so, in the moment, when I can remember that, and it usually takes Holy Spirit reminding us, but when I know why Holy Spirit's reminding me, that I can use that as ammunition against what Satan's trying to do, or against ammunition of like the really negative thoughts in my mind. When I know that that's why Holy Spirit's bringing it to mind, I can actually do something with that. And then I say, you know what, thank you God so much for looking out for me. Thank you for like your incredible miracles that really do have my best interest in mind. Next thing we can be thankful for is provision. You know, like, housing situations and food are not always great. And, you know, they're not there 100% of the time. But for most people in this room, we do have a place to live and we do have food to eat. And it's really, really easy to get on the side of the bandwagon that says, it's not the dream home that I want and it's not the gourmet food that I want. But the reality is that God is usually... Well, in my life, God has been 100% faithful looking out for this. I have always had somewhere to live. I have always had food. I realize that might not be the situation for everybody, but let's focus on what we do have. Okay? And that's a really, really obvious one, and that can sometimes be the hardest one to be thankful for because we take it for granted so much. But the truth is that's something to be thankful for. And I find that this one is actually the one that I've had the most breakthrough in my really, really down moments because it's so hard to be thankful for something that I take for granted. And so when I do make that choice, I've always found that like that just incredible blessing has flowed out of that because it does start to shift my perspective. I start to really be thankful for everything that God's done in my life. Next is the blessings of God. Okay? God opens up so many doors that can often seem like a curse, but the reality is that it's a blessing.
That's so true.
And like I'll give you a few examples. Okay, so speaking at Central, a lot of fun, can also be really difficult sometimes. When I was first like preparing messages and I didn't have a lot of experience doing that, I would get so stressed out about having to speak at Central. And I remember I used to, like, every single time, without exception, that I was on the schedule, I would have an argument with God about what on earth was he thinking and why was he asking me to do this, and I just get so angry with him. And God said something to me one week when I was doing that. I felt like he said, and I don't remember exactly word for word what I kind of journaled about, but what I felt God was saying was, you are taking far too lightly the blessing that I've given you to be able to speak into people's lives week in, week out. And that was absolutely shocking for me because I realized that, I mean, my perspective was so much about me. And I was thinking about how, like, my inability to speak perfectly, which is always going to happen, you are not going to get a perfect sermon out of Jordan Gruber. My inability to speak perfectly, I was so focused on how that was going to impact me. And how, like, every way that I felt short, how that would be, you know, ammunition for somebody else to come after me. How that would be, like, such an easy way, or how I would just, like, lose sight in people's eyes. Or whatever, lose standing, whatever, I don't know. But I was so focused on that, and I wasn't focused on how speaking a few right words can completely change somebody's life. And how being able to speak just a little bit of wisdom, like to a group this size, how that might hit like three or four people versus all the conversations from the week, the amount of impact that it might have, the amount of impact that what I speak on a Sunday is often much greater. And I was taking that so lightly. And so that's been one area where God has really challenged me to be faithful, is actually the blessings that he's given me. Like another one was working in a coffee shop. Okay? That many times felt more like a curse. Having to go and like just do the same thing over and over and like deal with angry people all day long. It's actually a huge blessing to be able to run into that many people in a day and have the ability to like in 30 seconds to be able to change their day for better or for worse. And that was a huge blessing that I was completely overlooking. And so taking account our blessings and just being thankful for those opportunities. Doing that before we have the bad moments can actually be really, really helpful as well. Before we go to work and have a meltdown, if it's a coffee shop or whatever your work is, there's a blessing in it for you. You need to talk to God about the specifics of where you work, but thanking God for the blessing before you get into that situation, because when the perspective is on what a blessing it is to be there, those thorns in our side don't really seem to have the same effect anymore. Okay, next thing that we can be thankful for is God's character and his works. God is perfect. It's one of the things I love about him. Everybody I know lets me down in some way. Everybody that knows me, I let them down in some way. God, not so much. God is perfect. That's one of the things, like, I do absolutely love that about him. He's also loving. And so, even when God uses really strong language in his talking with me to, like, because I've done something, like, just get really angry at a cab driver or whatever, because even when he speaks to me strongly, he's always loving in that. Even when he corrects me, it's still loving. That's one of the things that I just find amazing about him. I so many times I love people and I try to correct them and it still doesn't come across as loving, even though that's absolutely 100% why I'm doing it. But God, it just has this amazing way of always hitting that mark. So be thankful for some of his character, some aspect of his character. He's powerful. That's another thing. Like, if your situation that you're in seems really, really horrible, just go, like, search on the internet some amazing miracles that God is doing. Even if you're not experiencing them in the moment, you just start to read about what God is doing around the world, you're going to be happy that that's a God that's on your side. Yeah. Right? We can be thankful for his character and his works. Lastly, godly relationships. Right? We are so blessed to be in a city where there's people everywhere. And I realize you don't probably have godly relationships with everybody you run into, but the thing is that there's probably... you have a good, healthy, godly relationship somewhere in the vicinity of where you are. And that's a huge blessing. To be able to have somebody that you can call, like for any of you that are in cells, you can call your cell leader, whether you realize that or not. Most cell leaders here deal with that during the week. They deal with calls from somebody who's maybe having one of these bad moments and just needs some life spoken into them. And that's an amazing blessing to be able to have that kind of relationship with somebody that you can call them, be completely real, just like let everything pour out and they're still going to love you. I mean, that's something to be thankful for. Maybe your family is that for you. I pray that your family is that for you. I realize it's not the case for everybody. But being able to have like parents or siblings that we can call and they'll just share the love of God with us, whether intentionally or not. I mean, that's the great thing about somebody who's in love with God is it just oozes out of them. So, we can be thankful for godly relationships. So why don't you guys stand up? Coming out of tonight, I don't want you to think, like I thought, that you just can't have a bad moment. Or that things won't be bad for you. But rather that we actually have a choice in that moment to start going down a path away from that. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come in right now and where we've had lies that, you know, we can't screw up. Or that we have no choice, that we're powerless in a situation, that the circumstances are just way too overwhelming. Any of those lies, we just ask that you wash them away right now. You just lay foundation that we do, in fact, have a choice for life. That in every situation, no matter how grim, no matter how bad, but that you give us a choice for life. That no matter how bad the circumstances may be, you have bigger and better in the palm of your hand, and that you are offering it to us. So right now, wherever you're at, I just want you to ask Holy Spirit for something that you are thankful for. You may come up with something right away. That's just like you. But I feel like Holy Spirit's also going to give you something specific that is going to have strings attached to your heart, that when you start to express that thankfulness for that thing, it's going to start your heart down a new path. It's going to fill you up with hope, and it's going to let blessing loose on your life. And I want you to turn to somebody beside you and tell them what that thing that you're thankful for is. And then you can turn to the other side and tell that person as well. Okay, if you haven't turned to the person on the other side and told them as well, do that. Okay, everybody turn back to the front. Turn back to the front. And stop talking. Alright, let's pray together. I'll pray first, you just pray after me. God, I want hope, and I want blessing in the midst of all of my circumstances. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to remind me of what I'm thankful for. And I give you permission to remind me that I get to make a choice. And Holy Spirit, give me the strength to make a good choice.